Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amade and JT.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken and written word. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the February 28th, 2020 edition. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Amade, sitting across from me. Once I figure out how to speak, I can host. Sitting across from me is my co-host, the man who keeps everything moving, the man responsible for that oh-so-gentle stop of the music in the background. Mr. JT, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. So we haven't really talked. We haven't talked since last week.
Yeah.
Just after the show, because you're finishing up your last semester in school. So we're kind of in this little moment where we're not as, I mean, for the first time in like 8 years, we're not really communicating as much. Feels weird.
It does.
I got to tell you, I can't wait until we're able to start getting back into that habit.
Absolutely.
But I want to ask, I mean, of course, I'm doing this on the air, but how's everything going? What's new?
It's going well. Nothing's really new. I got a new tattoo last Saturday.
That's right. You did. Yeah.
Which I only have two, so it's not like, you know, another one.
Yeah. But this one is, I can't underemphasize the size of this tattoo. I mean, the fact that you went the entire upper part of your body,
you know,
and your face is a bit of a commitment.
But it's one.
It's one tattoo. Just one tattoo. You happen to look like a Marvel supervillain now.
Well,
but
you know,
it's what you're going for.
Now I'll just match. I'll work on the body to match what they drew on me, and then it'll look a little weirder.
There you go. See?
See?
That's a good thought.
And then I can get it removed.
Oh, because that's a good plan. All right, no, I'm actually just kidding. No, so do you want to tell them the tattoo you got?
Yeah, so I've got a new tattoo. It's basically it's something that I've been drawing since I was a kid and just infatuated with it for some weird reason. So it's mine. I own it. It's now on my arm revealing dragon scales.
That's really cool.
Underneath. So, and the tattoo artist is fantastic. We've known her for about 10 years. My son and her went to high school together, and she wanted to be a tattoo. She gave him his first tattoo. He got a touch up on Saturday after I got mine done. She added to it, cleaned up some other stuff.
Cool.
And then
it's a good family outing.
It was a really good day. It wasn't so much of a cheat day as it was sitting there trying to hold back tears. I'm kidding.
You just described every day for me.
Well, that's kind of sad. I'm sorry.
Hello, everyone. I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
But other than that, just work and school.
Work and school.
Trying to grind it out.
Yeah. Okay.
You?
Okay. Well, I mean, I could say work. At the same time, what work actually is comprised of is a bunch of just really enjoyable, cool things that I'm working on. My head is really deep in work at the moment. And one of the things I kind of realized, and I did very privately, which was just kind of like, I'm pulling back from social media a lot. I'm pulling back from reading the news a lot. Not because I don't think being informed is important. It absolutely is. And not that I don't think being connected with people is important. It absolutely is. But my own mental energy was being pulled by other people, and I was reacting. It's not the other people's fault. It's my fault. I got to take control of that.
Right.
So what I really have done is pulled back so I can gather my own mental resources to really deeply work on the things I need to be working on. And, you know, I've been working on building a whole new podcast show. Got three interviews in now that I'll put them out at the same time. They're long-form interviews with interesting people.
Yeah.
Really cool. Hasn't been put out yet. It's the first time I'm actually even mentioning it publicly. And working a lot of music, playing a lot of music, recording a bunch, writing a bunch of songs, and directing this musical.
Right.
Signing on probably to direct another musical in the summer. Yeah, I mean, it's nonstop, but it's joyful and it feels normal.
This
you know?
Is good.
So between crying spells, I'm working and I'm happy, and then I just sit down and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not actually true. More I just stare out the window and go, what am I doing with my life? But, you know.
You'll figure it out.
I'm still kidding. I don't actually do that. Which is maybe a problem. Maybe I should be doing that. How's everybody else in the chat room? How's everybody doing? All right. I see who's there. I see Mama Oladeji. I see Cynthia. I see Zach there. Who else is around? I clicked into it later. Who else do you see around, JT?
Well, I don't know who that one is. Shiloh May.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's okay.
All right, this is good. Anyway, it's, you know, it's kind of chill right now. This is good.
Yeah.
Tonight's going to be a good night. We're going to share some poetry with each other. It's not a night where we're unveiling new clues for the next month because we're still in February. So that'll start next Friday. And we're going to be doing a couple songs. You know, I'd like to try to do something towards the end if we can.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just going to be a good night of poetry, good night of just camaraderie, as it usually is, and we'll just see how it goes. Anything else we want to throw out, we want to mention?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, one quick thing, if you're listening to this, whether it's on a rebroadcast or live, if you want to contribute to the show, you want to offer something, you find value, go on Amazon.com, look up our 2019 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. It's an anthology, a collection of poetry from the poets on this show. We put it out once a year, and the proceeds go directly to pay for the website and the hosting and all that stuff to put this show on every year. And it's really a great way, if you're a writer, to help put the show on. So we really see this as something we're all doing together. So please consider that if you do not have a copy already. These are our rules for the show. The way this kind of works is we're going to do one segment. We need five callers. Then each of you will share one piece. Then we'll do another segment, and we'll do five more callers. Now, you're guaranteed a second segment. But for instance, if we don't get five callers in the second segment, then we'll immediately go to probably the Studio X segment where I'll play some music. Then we'll do a thing called return engagement where anybody can call back in or call in for the first time. But in those first few segments, we only take up to five callers because that just helps pace the show a little bit better. So if for some reason there's already been five and you call in, then we'll just suggest you call in during the next segment and we'll make sure that you get a turn. So here are our basic rules. Number one, no hate speech. We've never done that on the show. We never will. Rule number two, please skew PG-13 if you can. We want to make this a friendly place for younger people, for families. And, you know, we just want to make this a place where they don't have to, you know, do the earmuffs thing too often. So we ask for you to skew PG-13 with your work or less than PG-13. It doesn't have to just be PG-13. And that being said, we're not in the business of censoring others, though. So if you have a good flow going on, if you have, if you have something really artistic happening, well, we might not jump in. But if it gets gratuitous, we reserve the right to do so. Rule number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared with your poem. Just be ready. It's respectful to the other poets and to the timing of the show. This thing can kind of start dragging on when no one can find their work. So make sure you have something ready to go. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Once again, it's just a respect thing. It helps the flow of the show. And rule number five, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. However, JT and I are doing quite a few things here during the show. It's hard for us to remember. So if you want to get us something or communicate something to us, don't just say it on the air. Send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or put it in the contact form on our website. And that way we'll get it and we'll be able to discuss it, whether it's before the show or as soon as we start meeting up weekly again. We'll be bringing it up every week and getting to it. All right, JT, anything else we need to add? We're good?
Good.
All right, we need five unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again, 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Twah! Okay, here we are.
That's going to be fun to pull out.
The best part is I have absolutely no reason why that sound effect even exists. I don't even know what that's supposed to be. It's partway between a cat and like a French exclamation, don't you think?
Yes, yes. It's almost as good as this one.
Ta-ya! Now, was that me too?
Yes.
Really?
Very much so, yes.
So, okay, play that again.
Ta-ya!
I gotta say, I feel like I have a talent here. I feel like maybe I'm discovering a new talent that I had and I wasn't aware of it.
Michael, the sound effect artist.
I can make laser noises for hours. Pew! Like, this could be a whole new show. Michael makes laser noises for 2 hours straight every Monday night.
That's going to get us 100,000 views.
You know what? That's a thing. Hey, man, Pootie Pie is a thing, and it's not all that different.
Very true.
Okay.
You're very, very true. We're going to have to do one video and see what happens.
No, it's I feel like all that would happen then is that I would try to do something like Pootie Pie, make myself look like a jackass. I'd probably get 15 views and just be, and then I would feel like, oh, he's just better at it than I am. All right. Anyway, we have got four callers lined up. It's a slow night.
It's okay.
It just looks like what it's going to be. Yep. Now, we do guarantee a second segment. So if for some reason someone comes in late and they want to do another one, that's just fine, right? We got it. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to head, first of all, let's just get right into it. Let's go to upstate New York. Let's visit with Zach. All right. Good evening, Zach. How are you, sir?
Hey, you know, it's been a great week. How are you guys?
We are good.
We're doing well, man. I've been flat to the boards for the last part of this week. You would not think that doing music and all this stuff takes as much energy as it does, but it really does. How about you? How's everything going with you?
Well, you know, I got the fantastic piece from you, the cover for the book, and I showed it to my friends and family, and they absolutely lost their minds. So we definitely.
I hope you found
them. What's that?
I hope you found them.
Oh, yeah. That, and then I got my hearing aids this week.
Oh, congratulations. How was that?
It's definitely weird because of the fact that it's, because I'm hearing things that I've never heard before. So
right.
It's a little different. So basically, I guess just to give perspective, in order to use the radio in my car, I had to use it at 24, the volume, and now I can hear it clearly at 10.
Wow. That's great.
At the same time, you got to think, like, having hearing aids suddenly now you're like, wait a second. I didn't realize how annoying everybody is.
There is that.
Well, and it's crazy because this is only at 90%. They can take the hearing up to 110%. So I go back in 2 weeks to get it synced to my phone. Cause,
wait, 110%? Is that turning it up to 11? That's
yes,
what this
that's
is?
That's exactly what
it's
that
totally
is.
It's totally a joke.
No.
It is, but it's actually true. So, yeah, it's 110% of the compared to the hearing ability that I had.
Oh, I see. So it's compared to the hearing of it. It's not just like a volume knob where they're like, it's 110%, not 100, because we're on the positive. Okay.
It's over 9,000. So basically, yeah, so I'm going back in 2 weeks, but it's really weird because I'm not used to hearing my, because everything is so loud, all the S's are slurred, so so it sounds really weird. But yeah,
Compressing the S's, I would imagine. They probably have a compressor, because hearing aids are really just an audio reamplification system. And they're probably compressing the S's so you don't have the sibilants that are horrible, I would imagine.
Right, yeah. So I go back in 2 weeks to get it synced to my phone, because the biggest thing is I can actually have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity, uh-huh. so I can actually stream the audio through my hearing aids and... so, like, I can listen to music and stuff through it, and...
I'd see that going really well, or it could just... if it was me, it would turn horrible, I think. Because I'd be just not doing nothing but listening to music all of the time. And people be like, I thought I was talking to you and everything was normal, but in reality, you didn't hear a thing I said.
Well, and it's interesting because these ones have wind block and echo block, so technology.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But what's really interesting is that because of when it syncs up to my phone, if I get a call, it'll stream to both ears at the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
That'll be good.
I think when I got glasses finally, I realized how weird people looked at me all the time. I never realized in the past that everyone was just giving me a side eye the entire time. And then now I have glasses, I'm like, that person in that car who just drove by glared at me for some weird reason. It was the strangest thing to realize. Apparently, I'm really hated.
That's weird.
At least not by poets in the poetry community.
What am I doing wrong? No, it's just funny the things you pick up when you're suddenly your sense is heightened again. You're not used to it. I really don't feel like I'm hated. I just think people look at each other way more than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the other big thing that's exciting is my poetry is taking off. I went from, like 5 days ago, I had 13,396 views and 52 followers. And now I have over 14,100 views just from adding 3 poems. And I have gained 5 new followers, 2 of which are from Saudi Arabia, 1 from Pakistan.
Very cool. Right. Very cool. Now, what site are you on again?
It's called Hello Poetry. It's a private community for poets. Like, you actually have to submit some of your work so that they know that you're a serious poet, and then they'll let you use the site. And
instead of a silly poet, huh?
Oh, what's that?
Instead of a silly poet, they want to make sure you're very serious about it.
That's why the first poem that I submitted to them was I Control My Wonderful World of Color, and that one got 690 views. And
that's very cool.
And that's crazy because people are still reading stuff from last April when I joined. March 23rd is my 1 year anniversary, and I thought my hope was to have 15,000 views by the entire year, but it looks like I'm going to be able to have that by my first year anniversary.
Well, congratulations on that, my friend. Really.
Thank you. And now there's other poets, so I'll get right into it. This piece is called Mountain Climb, and this is one that I just let come to me this week. And I really like this one, so here we go. I've seen good, I've seen great. I've seen love, I've seen hate. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen joy and I've seen pain. I've seen a lot in my time, but just once, I'd like to feel it all before I reach the end of this mountain climb. End of peace.
Very nicely done. I like the James Taylor in there as well. I think, you know, I think that's a sincere wish, right? To be able to experience as much as you can during life rather than just one or two things. And I think we all share that sentiment.
Absolutely. You know, we all see a lot, and, you know, we, even though some of it's bad, you know, we can't grow from our experiences unless we've had them. So,
very much. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we've all seen a lot, and, you know, I just want to experience as much of it as possible. And, but yeah, that was my piece for now. I'll be back in the return engagement, but it is good to be home, and I will let the next poet step up.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Zach. We appreciate you. We'll see you during the return.
Sounds good. Bye.
All right, bye. And that was Zach Hahn from upstate New York in our number one spot here in the first segment. Got a lot of catching up to do for some reason. I don't know why that is. It's just been a week, but I kind of feel like it's been a, you know what part of it is? The Dennis hasn't been here.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It feels weird.
Yeah.
Feels weird.
Yeah.
But it feels weird when a lot of our longtime callers aren't
definitely.
Here. Let's go to Cynthia Sharp in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm having a great week. I was on the island, which is really fun.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So that was just a big gathering of artists and writers and everything, right?
Yeah, and it's such a spiritual place. It's one of my favorite places to go. It's really like I have to take a ferry, and my friend picks me up, so I get driven all around and get to look at the window.
So you get to actually experience it. That's nice.
Actually, that's the difference. Like if you're not the driver, if you just get to look out the window while your friend drives you all over the place on a little tour, it's really fun.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm so happy for you. I'm happy that you you got to have that experience. And that I'm happy you're here with us tonight as well.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad I always make it home to be on World Poetry Open Mic. So.
Well, we love that.
We did have one funny thing. All these poems are about one of my favorite places is Cathedral Grove, which is this really protected ancient rainforest. And it's also a tourist attraction in a way. And I have to be aware that when you're on the island, there are cougars, like there can be mountain lions, and they're like, it's wild. It's the most rugged part of the West Coast. So I was kind of aware of that as we were walking into the forest. And we got about 10 minutes into this most beautiful, magnificent 800-year-old trees, old growth. And I thought I saw a cougar in a tree. So then I made a loud noise and ran out of the park and told everyone to leave. But, turns out, so that's how cool I am. It turns out they were filming Jurassic Park there.
Oh my gosh.
So I ran away from a scary little prop that was still in a tree, warned everyone. And then this little 4-year-old with his mom was like, actually, it's from the movie.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm like, get your kid out of the tree. There's an animal up there.
That's so funny. I love it. Well, I mean, hey. At least you fell for it being made by like professional prop people, though. Like that's kind of their job, right?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm done. Like I wanted to walk in this. I haven't walked in that forest in about 10 years, and it was like every time I go, I'm like, please let make time for this trip to the Cathedral Grove. Yeah. We got there, spent 10 minutes, and we got in the car and went to a coffee shop, and then saw on the paper that it was a movie.
Oh, I think it's fantastic, though. I really do.
So my poem, I didn't get to write the poem to the actual trees. My poem is to my friend Jilly's painting of the trees. So this is a brand new one again, and it's called The Temple of Trees. And it goes with a painting that I posted in World Poetry of my Facebook page, the friend's one. The Temple of Trees. Tangerine path opens to the universe. Empyrean resin made strong. Veins flow, leaves fall away. I feel your gentle curves. Embrace entropy. Spread into earth, the birth canal we imagine death to be. Inside the trunk, palpable palms unveil the center of light. The paradox inside trees. A golden tunnel to the core. The moon, a carriage, a whole earth in its cradle, an embryo to another world, an inverse cocoon spiraling beyond the descent back. End poem.
That was really lovely.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to have this community be the place where I get to unveil it.
Yes, I love that. I really do. And we love hearing your new work, too. So that's just fantastic for us.
So thank you so much for having me on the show. And I look forward to being on the next part, too.
Okay. We absolutely look forward to it also. And thanks so much. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. That's really nice. Now, we're going to stay in Vancouver, or we're going to stay at least in British Columbia. No. We're going to go to Egon, a guy who's, like, I know Egon's work so much better, more than I know him, because he sent me a bunch. I've been working on trying to write kind of songs around stuff he sent, but we only know him a little bit, So I'm happy to have him on the show. I'm glad he's calling. Hey, Egon, welcome.
Hey.
How's everything going?
Hello. Oh, everything's going fine, thank you.
I was just saying, you probably heard, but I was just saying that, you know, I've been spending time with these wonderful things you've been sending me, and but I, you know, I haven't really been in contact with you or talking with you much, so I'm always happy when you call in. I feel like I can get to know the person behind some of these wonderful pieces that you've been sending.
Well, it's I think most of those are based on a little bit of age, having been around the horn a few times.
Sure. Well, that's a good thing.
And yeah, well, it was really great to hear Cynthia just now, because she's been an inspiration for a lot of the stuff I've written recently. And, of course, some things that I had sent to you are from my late teen, early 20s, what I call schmaltz.
Yeah, we all are guilty of that around that time of our lives, I think.
Yeah, it was during an era where I was going to become another Paul Anka, but that never happened.
Hey, you know, I went through that too. I went through the crooner Paul Anka period myself.
Well, I actually used to go to seniors, to shut-ins with my younger sister and a couple of friends, and we used to put on some variety shows.
Oh, cool.
Do a little bit of singing. My sister plays an accordion. I used to play guitar, but I sort of hung that up, and so now I'm just more or less a scribbler, and Cynthia had given several courses here last fall, and all of a sudden the creative muse kicked back in.
That's great. So, that's great.
Yeah. So I'm going to make it short and sweet, Michael, because you've got other people there. And but the background behind what I'm going to read to you is somewhat sad. I lost a step-grandson 3 weeks ago, 25 years old. He was electrocuted in Edmonton. And I know that my son and my daughter-in-law are really broken up. And I thought I would try and write something, because next week my wife and I will be attending a celebration of life for this young man. So this piece is called Time. They say that time is the healer of things, including the brokenhearted. But I wonder if it actually brings closure to one so soon departed. For a long time, I've questioned why a Lord whom Christians worship and to pray does not allow some people to be scored before they are returned to clay. It's the reason I'm agnostic. I cannot believe in this being, even though it's the core of this topic, or a faith that I can believe in. Question is, can time heal a mother's heart after losing her oldest child and a family too soon ripped apart? His smile, though, will always be filed. During the war, my mom lost two babies when they were less than 2.5. In bomb shelters, they encountered scabies, about which one cannot laugh. So how did my and other mothers cope with the loss of a child that she carried in her for 9 months with the hope to bounce her offspring on her knee. How does one reconcile a mother's pain after she's lost a loved one? An answered question. I ask again, how does one replace a son? End of piece.
Wow. How do you? You know, there's a lot of heart to that piece, but I understand the piece is just an expression of the larger scenario that you and your family are experiencing. And so, first of all, our condolences, and I think that it's well expressed. Although I'm sorry that you have to be living through the thing that causes it.
Well, yeah, you know, it's really interesting. After my mother lost two of her infants, and I came along, they asked my mother in the hospital, the nurses, you know, how is it that you're not pining? And my mother just answered, well, I can't do anything about the dead. I can only worry about the living.
Mm.
And I think that sentiment is really imbued into my soul, because my philosophy is I don't worry about things that I can't change. Mm. I only worry about things that I can affect. I mean, what's the sense of you know, being upset because it's raining?
Right.
Hell, take an umbrella or get dressed for it and go on.
Yep.
You're not going to change it.
Yeah.
So,
I think you're right. And there's some things that I've been wondering, some things. I've been thinking about kind of my own, you know, we start seeing that we have certain types of behavioral traits that maybe just seem to arise very naturally to us, but then you stop and you kind of question, why do I do this? And one of the things I realized is I'm someone who really likes to pay their respects and be respectful of someone, but I have a really hard time with funerals. And it's not because funerals bother me or frighten me or anything like that. It's nothing like that. I'm actually very comfortable with the idea of death. But I think for me, I want to express that while I'm alive. And I want to, I'm having a hard time with the idea of going and expressing after the fact. And I know that that's not necessarily societally acceptable, and I don't expect other people to accept it. And of course, it's not about me. It's not even about the deceased. It's actually about their family or the people around them. So I'll continue to go. But it's,
and that's why I wrote this primarily for both my son and more specifically my daughter-in-law,
right,
because it was her firstborn.
Right, and I felt that in the piece. I completely could connect to that.
Anyway, Michael, I'll let you run. You've got other people there, and hopefully we'll connect one of these days.
Yeah, we definitely will connect. But for now, I really appreciate the work, and thank you for everything you do.
Okay, appreciate it. Take care. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. And that was Egon calling from British Columbia with a very emotional and heartfelt piece. I'm sorry I'm taking so long tonight, JT.
It's okay. Really.
I have a feeling Mom is going to, like, Mom will smack me around on this one anyway if I start trying to go too long. All right, let's go to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio. Good evening, Mama.
All right, let's go to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio.
How are you?
I'm here. I lost my piece. Bear with me.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how I did that. I had to keep rebooting. I remember I had to reboot. I found it. I had to keep rebooting. It's not my fault. Okay. The name of this piece should kind of fit in with Cynthia's piece for some reason. I don't even know why. But the name of it is called Species. I was born here on Earth to a species. In a sack of water, I was born here on Earth, connected to all the water on Earth. All the water is connected to various species where I came from is my source. Always I will be connected to my source. All species are connected to their kind. All the water is connected to the water. All the trees are connected to the trees. Every spore is networking with light spores. Every human cell is speaking the language that human cells speak. Every windstorm begets every breeze, and every hurricane has a direct path. All humans that love are connected by that love. Also, there are those who are bound together by hate. Those hateful ones are full of hate. They want to send me out of my way, want to give me a reason, and they have, yet I cannot hate for the sake of it. I think straight. First law of self-preservation, the first goal must not be in reactionary mode. The hateful also have a provider. A provider who gives them an abundance of things to hate. Lots of people and situations on which to use their hatred. And they are haters, not lovers. They also hate love. Their DNA is dragging them along like a donkey pulling a cart, becoming as one, being the same as one. They are the same one. They are the same. The same thing, unless given a new bone on which to chew. One may seem as many, yet they are really many of one kind. I am of this earth. I am of this water. I am of these trees. I am of this soil. I am the product of many lovers. Many lovers who has transcended before me. I am love. I am the evidence of my source. I who have the least earthly good are loved by the many. As the clouds are to the sky, you wonder, who is she that is so truly loved and loves so truly? I am love for the sake of love, for love's sake. Love for me comes naturally. I am connected to many lovers. My kind and I could never truly hate without a reason to really try. In peace.
Very nicely done. Mama, you absolutely slayed it. Great job.
Thank you. My
God. It was worth, was it worth all the rebooting?
I'm not even finished rebooting. I'm trying to get back in now.
Oh. I don't know why that causes so many problems for you. I'm so sorry.
I am sorry that your computers just don't want to cooperate.
No worries. Just leave me to my rebooting.
All right. Well, Mama, we appreciate it. It's, you know, we're sorry you have to be rebooting, but we're happy if you can find time to scribble out a poem or two. We really always love those, too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Welcome. And that was Mama Oladeji calling and rebooting in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow. That's a show. Calling and rebooting.
Calling and rebooting. All right. Now, we are going to do something entirely different.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
We are going to have a second segment.
Oh!
And people can call in. So we need 5 more unique callers, or anybody, if you have not called in, you can do so now. This is the second segment. This is not yet the return engagement. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Hey, mister.
Hey.
Hey, mister, do you like poetry?
Sure.
Get in the van.
Okay. World Poetry Open Mic. Does this smell like chloroform to you? And we're back. Segment number two.
I still love it.
Did I ever tell you where I heard that does this smell like chloroform to you joke once?
Uh-uh.
I was on tour and I was with my band in some like roadhouse, just ridiculous country bar. Right, we're touring through the kind of the countryside.
Yeah.
And this girl walks up to me and she hands me this thing. She goes, "Does this smell like chloroform to you?" And I was like, and I just started laughing. I thought, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. So that's where that came from. So without that experience, that joke might not have happened. I know we're all thankful to her for coming up and saying such a ridiculous thing to me at one time. All right. Now we've got one caller in this segment. We're just going to go straight to it because you know what? We're not screwing around here.
That's right.
Poetry Open Mic. We don't screw around at all. We're 100% straight down the line.
That's
focused,
right.
Focused, no big deal at all. Let's just go right now to the land of hopes and dreams, Connecticut.
We don't screw around at all. We're 100%.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good, sort of. I mean, we went out shopping this week, just today. And we were in Costco, and there's a run on water and paper towels and crazy things like that.
Yeah. I've been hearing about this. Honestly, I've been trying to do this thing where, and it's funny because I'm still very informed, but I've purposefully started avoiding the news for. I'm using Lent as a convenient excuse.
You gave up the news for Lent?
I did. I gave up news for Lent. And the reason being is because...
Not a good time.
Well, but here's the thing. I got to tell you, Barbara, you'd think I wouldn't know what's going on. Oh, but I do. Because everybody talks about it all the time. So that's fair, right? And so... And so the thing is I get it. I'm interested to see what happens, you know, and at the same time is ridiculous as it sounds, I'm also waiting to see if I should buy a bunch of stocks when it crashes.
Well, stock is not my problem, although I hope
I don't think it's really
anybody's
actual problem. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I mean, I have a retirement fund. Hopefully, they are choosing wisely. But,
yes, hopefully so.
But the thing is that I don't. I'm not going to worry. I mean, it does hit older people, and I should be worried about that. But you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, it's like, it's what the hell.
It's just another damn thing, Barbara, is what it is.
Well, I talked. You know, my brother was in Japan when it hit, and. I said to him, "Aren't you, you know, nervous?" And he said, "Hey, you know, people die of the flu all the time." And he said, "If it happens, it happens. And if it's your time, it's your time." So that's my brother, and that's how he feels. I don't feel that way, but, you know, in deference to my brother, I'll try and, you know, see if I can move myself to that, and my husband would probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
That what the hell, you know?
Exactly.
There is nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that is going to be there, and there's truly nothing in the world that you can do about it. So you just have to prepare. My daughter got some masks that we're waiting for and, you know, a few things like that. But so far, no cases in Connecticut. So anyway, I was hoping I could read this from my word, but my word is so slow lately. So I'm going to read this from the from Facebook, and it is my poem for the garden this week. And It's called Thoughts on a Girl in a Purple Dress Carrying Lavender. And it's based on a photograph, actually, that if you go to my page, you'll see it. The girl is standing there. She has a purple dress on, very beautiful. She has this kind of inscrutable expression in her face, and she's wearing a net cape. Anyway, this is my poem. Thoughts on a Girl in a Purple Dress Carrying Lavender. She walks as if in a dream, though her eyes are wide open, and she wears a set expression. She has a place to go, and it shows in the way she moves. Her dress evokes another era, when women wore layers of clothing and moved slowly through the world. Her garment is embroidered, and she seems like a maiden who has every advantage. Lavender sprays from her hand in a fan as she grips the stems, its fragrance probably intoxicating as her arms move with the delicate flowers brushing up against her body. She wears the most delicate cape of sheer material, certainly not there to keep her warm. Yet it conveys the message she is a lady of leisure and not a peasant wandering in the meadow. Perhaps she will bring these sprays of lavender to her lover, or maybe she will decide to fashion a hairpiece made of the blooms to surprise him. Her purpose eludes anyone, since her expression is inscrutable. She could be gathering them for herself, though why she seems so intent as she gracefully walks from the forest holding the lavender as a prize will never be known. But that is why we as poets are ever expositing on the activities of others we observe everywhere. For what is a painting or a photo if not an observation? And we as poets are inclined to read into the lives of those we observe to determine what their thoughts might be. We are the unseen voyeurs of life, gathering tidbits and snatches of conversation, glimpses of images throughout the day, and constantly wondering and speculating on their existence. End poem.
Very, very nicely done. Mm-hmm. Very well done.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just, you know, it's ekphrastic poetry.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's the person put on this prompt for us, and it was, there were no words at all, just prompt, just the photo, and I just, you know, I went with it.
Might as well. I think that's a good way to be. Just kind of surrender to it and let your own creativity connect.
And then what happened was I said to myself, what are you doing here? You know, and that's where the thoughts on poets, I'm leaving. Am I the only one on, or is there one more?
No, you're the only one in this segment. You were the one caller. I'm not playing you off.
Why am I being guitared off?
No, you're not.
Oh, you know, you're taking the guitar as the guitared off part. I'm just playing guitar while you're talking.
I'm
watching too many award shows, Barbara.
Speaking of shows, Michael, did you catch my show this week?
I didn't. So I saw your thing about Thursday. Now, here's my thing. I'm directing a play all day on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, unfortunately, I'm kind of... At least for a few months.
For how long?
June, probably.
Oh my dear!
It might kick in again. So here's the thing: I have a bunch of stuff that's going to be coming out here in about 3-4 months, especially when Girl Poetry Magazine launches, and a few months after that, which will be like July, August, like that. If you have any openings, then I would love it. But I understand it's your show, so it's up to you. But that's kind of what I'll be
doing. I will put you there, Michael.
Awesome.
July
would be great.
That's if we're all here, you know. Four months is a long time. We'll all plan to be here.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll be here. All right, Barbara.
Not to bring us down, though.
No, I think things are beautiful.
And now, after I used Facebook, my word came up. Unbelievable. Don't you hate computers? Don't you truly hate them? Aren't they just the bane of your existence?
They can be.
Okay. I'm going to get off the phone and let you do whatever you've decided to do tonight.
Well, thank you, Barbara. So we'll talk to you during the return,
okay? See you later.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. I don't know why that cracks me up so much. You do whatever you're...
You do gotta what do. You're doing.
Yeah, you do whatever you decide you're going to do, whatever weirdness you're... I remember one time I was fairly new in a relationship, right? And it's when I was playing full time, and I had to go play some event. You know, we had, you know, there's the cowboy bands, you kind of have to dress up, and there's sometimes like a more dressed up code and, you know, laid back. So I'm leaving, and you leave in the clothes you're playing in, right? Because once you show up, the moment you get out of the car, you are representing. That's it. So I'm leaving, and my girlfriend at the time, who was staying there, she kind of stops me. She's coming back. She stops me, and she looks at the car. She goes, "Where are you going, and why are you dressed that way?" And I go, "That's a question you're going to be asking a lot during this relationship." I got to feel that whole line of, do whatever you were going to do. I was like, yeah, now we understand each other.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how this all works. So, Barbara, that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing. JT, should we go to Studio X, my friend?
Sure. You want to take a big inhale?
Yeah, ready? All right.
Wow. Okay.
You said a big inhale. I assume
you did
an
great
exhale that was similar.
That was good.
Okay, cool.
Well done.
One thing I want to throw out very quickly,
yes,
I just found this out right before the show. I mentioned it to you already. I want to say congratulations to Jake Shimabukuro and my brother, Dave Preston. And they have an album. It's called Jake Shimabukuro Trio. And Dave's the guitarist on it. They just had the number one contemporary jazz album on the charts. Just came out on the 14th. My sister-in-law sings on it. And it's doing really well. So I want to say congratulations to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to play a couple songs. Here we go. We played King of the Mountain out on the end. We'll come charging up the hill. We were women and men. Now there's so much that time and memory fade away. Got our own roads to ride, chances we gotta take. We stood side by side, each one fighting for the other. We said until we die, we'd always be blood brothers. Now the hardness of this world slowly grinds your dreams away, making a fool's joke out of the promises we made. It once seemed black and white, turn so many shades of gray. We lose ourselves in work to do, work to do and bills to pay. And it's so right, 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 and there ain't much cover. No one running by your side, my blood brother. Through the houses of the day, past those falling in their tracks, all
always moving on and never looking back. I don't know how I feel. Don't know how I feel tonight. I fall beneath the wheel. If I've lost or I gained sight, I don't even know why. Don't know why I made this call, but this matters anymore. Anymore after all. But the stars are burning bright, like some mystery uncovered. Keep on moving through the dark with you in my heart, my blood brother. Keep on moving through the dark with you in my heart, my blood brother.
It's a good song. I always like that one.
It's really good.
All right. Now that was, for those of you who don't know, that's Blood Brothers by Bruce Springsteen. I think it makes sense when you hear it. This one is
Ooh.
The song's called Tuning. I think I played that on the show more than any other song.
Well, at least for a little while, right?
You hope so, anyway. All right. This is an old Johnny Cash song.
Couldn't manage the problems I had laid on myself. Just made it worse when I laid them on somebody else. So I finally surrendered it all, brought down in despair. I cried out for help, felt a warm comforter there. And I came to believe in a power much higher than I. Yeah, I came to believe I needed help to get by. In childlike faith, I gave him and gave him a try. And I came to believe in a power much higher than I. Nothing worked out, I handled it all on my own. Each time that I failed made me feel twice as alone. And I cried, Lord, must be sure an easier way. For it just cannot hail that a man should lose hope and faith every day. And I came to believe in a power much higher than I. Yeah, I came to believe I needed help to get by. I had childlike faith, I gave up and gave him a try. And I came to believe in a power much higher than I. Yeah, I came to believe in a power much higher than I. Yeah, I came to believe in a power much higher than I.
All right, everyone. It's time to go to the return engagement. Anybody who wants to call in, you can do so, whether it's to share a poem again or to share for the first time this evening. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
You know, I'm supposed to see Draven once I shoot myself out of Studio X. You ready? Clench. Now we're back. That was great.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. You know, I thought about mentioning it to you, but I felt like I was being redundant when I said that.
No.
So that's my fault. I should have told you.
It's all good.
All right. Yeah, go figure. Ooh. The one time I don't. Every other time I do, don't I? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You always check. Yeah. You're just like, hey, are we? I'm like, yeah.
Out of the last 100 ones.
Yeah,
yeah. Right out of the last 10, I have only missed one.
Huh.
That 10%, just every time. It gets you, man.
It's so weird.
It gets you. Okay.
It's just this weird, odd anomaly for us, I guess.
I don't know, it's kind of strange. Just, I feel like I just live in that 10% all the time. All right. So it's an inside joke, everybody. Uh-huh. Inside joke we cannot go into.
No.
We would like to let you in on that, but we're not going to. So let's head now. Actually, well, first of all, we've got six callers here in the return.
Yes.
I'm excited about it. We've even got a caller who has not called in yet on the show and has not for quite a while. So I'm excited about this. Hopefully we can make it all work. But let's go, first of all, to Egon in British Columbia. Hello, Egon. Welcome back.
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Yes.
You sound so much like Kris Kristofferson with his song... Why Me, Lord?
Well, you know
with
what?
A little bit of a twist.
I haven't heard that one. I mean, I have heard it. It's been a long time. So I'm going to go. First of all, I appreciate the compliment. I assume it's that. and then I'll go check it out after the show.
Yeah, it's actually it was on his first album, A Silver Tongued Devil and I.
Okay.
And it's also I recently sent you. A little bit of doggerel that he's got Billy D, which is on that record as well. Anyway, you might want to listen to it as well.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah. Anyway, no, what I've got here, last November, my wife managed to put us on a river cruise going down the Danube. And it in first time in 65 years that I actually went back to the fatherland because I'm an immigrant here in Canada. And although I can't really sleep on a plane, I dozed. And this poem came to me because I was listening to a folk song, and it was Der Boden vor dem Tore. Anyway... I call it young love. In the shade of a maple tree, I stole a tender kiss from you. You were shy and so was I. Ruby red lips and eyes so blue, you had captivated me. I carved a heart into its bark with four initials, yours and mine. We had pledged our love forever, forever until the end of time, and that we would never part. On a Persian carpet we slept, weaved with a tree of life design, on a white-colored background. I entered you and heard you whine, snow tight in my arms, you wept. But young love, like a blushing rose, is a sweet and fragile flower. It needs nurturing to survive, careful attention every hour. Young love failed. It's now locked in prose. End of story.
I really liked that, actually. JT, what'd you think?
I enjoyed that. That's a good piece. Yeah.
It's the first time I tried something a little different. As you know, probably I like rhymes, and this particular one, the first and last line they rhyme, the second and the fourth line rhyme,
and the middle one is neutral. I don't know. It's just kind of strange because my background from many years ago when I was in school and had an incredible teacher in my senior year, we always rhymed our poetry. There was no such thing really as free verse or open verse or anything else. But as I said earlier, Cynthia has certainly opened my eyes to doing something different, and this was one of those.
I'm really happy that she opened your eyes to it, and I really appreciate it. I'd love to see see what you end up doing with kind of that change of medium if you decide to pursue it more.
Anyway, I shall run and leave you to your other guests, Michael. And that was a real lovely song. I heard that you were a crooner and a guitar picker.
I try to be a few things, but guitar is like my I would say guitar is my worst instrument. But it's portable and it's useful here for Studio X. So I appreciate it, sir.
Well, and you have another instrument which is also very portable, vocal cord.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
The most portable.
Have a great one.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And bye-bye. Goodbye. And that was Egon calling from British Columbia. I'm assuming he's in Vancouver, but I'm not sure.
He is.
I feel a little ignorant about my British Columbia geography.
Remember, it's near British Brazil.
Yes, and British Paraguay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
which is really just two British Guays put together. There's Uno Guay. Oh,
man.
British Uno Guay.
Oh, God.
Oh, and there's Dos, British Dos Guay.
Dos Guay.
And together there, British Paraguay.
Paraguay, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man. That book is going to be fantastic.
We've been talking about this for years. I feel a little daunted. I got to be honest with you.
I'm going to have to just start jotting these things down and just put it on the map.
It's going to be one of those things where we're like, yeah, this is hilarious. Let's do it. And then we're like, I can't even think of anything. This is going to take us forever. All right. Let's go now to Zach in upstate New York. Hey, Zach, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great, man. Doing great. And we're happy to be here. You can tell it kind of makes our souls feel good to be here on Friday nights.
I'm glad to be a part of it, and yes. It definitely is the soul, but it's so weird not hearing Dennis's laugh.
It's strange, and George, too. I'm wondering.
I know.
I'm wondering if everybody's okay. I think George was going to be on, but, you know, sometimes things come up, so we never know.
Right.
So anyway, what do you have for us?
Well, this show seems to have a theme of time, and this was actually going to be the poem I was going to share anyway, but it's called Time of Your Life, and so I guess it's kind of fitting because it seems like there's a theme of time. Time heals, time bends. Time gives us chances to make amends. Time gives, time takes. In time we learn from our mistakes. For a time you'll live, in time you'll die. So make the most of your time. Don't be afraid to reach for the sky. End of peace.
That's it's inspirational as always. You're a really inspirational guy with your writing, my friend.
Well, you know, I try to be. You know, I have absolutely no life experiences, so I just imagine what it's like to be a part of the world, and you know, and then I just think of what people need to hear, what people want to hear, and you know, I think with people with depression and everything, they just want to feel that someone is relating to them, yeah. That they're not alone, yeah. And you know, that's what I focus on.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. I think there's a lot of need for a feeling like that, you know. A lot of people feel very kind of isolated and kind of alone and not really related to. And when it's something like that that is encouraging, I think it's okay to be encouraging to people. You know, I think that's a thing that we kind of forget about. But choosing to be encouraging to other people is a big thing.
Well, and that's what my book is all about, and I'm so honored that you're helping me with that. I think with your help, it's really going to make it into something that's really going to help people. I just have to figure out how to get it into, the local college bookstores and, get it, because of the price I'm thinking about selling it at the gas station I work at. I'm thinking that
You know what? You just gave me an idea. You know who you should contact? And we'll talk more of this off the air, but who else you should contact is maybe contact some depression or mental health charities. And even if you want to, they may buy it, they may put it for sale, they may even say, we want to share one or two of these pieces with people who call into us. But either way, I mean, those things might be big, as well as the college bookstores and things like that. That could be great.
Yeah, we'll talk more, but, I appreciate the encouragement, and I appreciate the encouragement from all you guys in the chat room and you, JT, and, it's good to be here, and I'll let the next person step up, but as always, I will talk to you guys next time.
Sounds great, sir. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
And that was Zach calling from upstate New York with a really solid piece.
Yeah.
All right. Now we should go to the obvious next step, Connecticut.
We'll talk more, but, I appreciate the encouragement. And I appreciate
Hello,
the
Barbara.
Encouragement from the chat room and you, JT. And,
hello.
It's good to be here, and I'll let the next person step up.
It really is. It's really a bit of a delay, isn't it?
Hello.
Oh, hey, Barbara, how's it going?
I'm good.
I was killing some time doing some scat singing.
No, it's okay.
I don't apologize for my scat singing.
I just stuck a promise in my mouth, so.
What's that? Well, I actually don't even know what that means.
It's milk chocolate.
Oh.
It's a milk chocolate heart.
A promise. It's a milk chocolate heart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's Dove promise.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do have something interesting to read.
Okay.
If you remember, I sent you a lot of poems for the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And this one I'm going to read because it's so unlike the stuff I've read tonight, or anyone's read tonight. So, anyway, it's called The Fine Balance, inspired by the book A Fine Balance by Rohinton Mistry. Everything needs a balance. The good comes with applause while the bad skulks in to muddy the fun. You love the way you look today, and you walk outside to be splashed by a puddle by a non-thinking moron who bounded by in a hurry, wheels flying. It's the title of the book I'm reading, of a place years ago where balance was the key to a satisfying life, and where the rich and the poor, the old and the young, and the sick and the well mingled in a society that struggled to accommodate all. A Fine Balance speaks of this, and I immersed myself in the society of India in the early 70s, where government and people tried to live in harmony with much dissonance on both ends. Squalor and chaos threatened to overcome the cities as the poor attempted to live in a world biased against them, and where what you were mattered more than who you were. Poor people, poor women,
still balanced water jugs on their heads and also tended to the cooking and children, while the men vied for meager work and wound up living on whatever they could scrounge. Unless you were in a certain class, you were liable to go hungry and had to fear for your life most of the time. Even if you had enough money, you never knew how long it would last. The bodies of homeless littered the sidewalks at night as people found places to rest. And even there, they had to worry as police herded the indigent off the streets, destroying their sleeping spaces. In a land of magnificent wonders, like the Hanging Gardens and museums of ancient artifacts, most only saw the dust and grime of the city's unswept streets and had to find a way to live and pursue their dreams in much deleted surroundings. Yet in this existence, there was a balance, as we must try to find in our present lives, as the sweet and the sour come together in many instances, and where survival, though it doesn't hang on this balance, still needs it to be what we want and not what we are given. End poem.
Very, very well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That book really, if you get to read it's not a fun book to read, really. It's not what I would call a fun book to read, but my book club decided to read it, and so we read it, and then it just got into my head and into my soul, mm-hmm. that kind of life that they led. I mean,
yeah.
it's gritty. That's what I would call that book, gritty.
Yeah. I can imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gritty. It's about that time in the 70s when India was changing over from being a very rural and, dependent on the class system and the caste system. And even though they had outlawed it, there still was the caste system alive in the suburbs. And so it's all about what happens when someone is in that caste and wants to move up, and all about the life that they want rather than the life that they're given. So very interesting book.
Seems like it would be.
Yeah. Anyway,
Barbara,
I'm
going to
get
you
off the phone because you have more people. You have Cynthia coming after me, so I don't want to, take too much time. And I just wanted to ask, what play are you doing, Michael? I might have missed it.
Once Upon a Mattress. I'm directing the play.
How cute. Is it children or is it adults?
Well, it's kids in 14 years old, so it's kind of straddling the line there. But it is, we're doing the full play.
The Sarah Jessica Parker thing?
She did the singing and all?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not doing the singing. The actors and actresses
No,
are.
You are not doing the singing, no.
I'm doing all the parts backstage.
No, that sounds really cute. I always thought that was a cute, story and should be really cute. So good luck.
Break
a leg or whatever you... Yeah, break a leg.
Okay.
Talk to you next week. You'll be here next week, right?
Yes.
Okay. See you next week then.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Barbara calling from Vancouver, British Connecticut. No, calling from Connecticut.
That's actually really good. Well done, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Let's go now to the melodious tones of our own Cynthia Sharp calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome back.
Hi. Great show. This is really fun.
It's been a good show. It's a really low-key show, but that's okay. And I think it just seems really peaceful this evening.
Yeah, I like both. I like when we have 13 callers, and I like when we have a slower pace and we chat a bit. So
I do too, yeah.
All good. So my next poem is also written to the same painting Jilly did called Sanctuary. The real forest is too scary for me, so I'm writing my poems to paintings of it. My poem is called Cradle Tree. Shadows won't catch you if you beam toward light. Stay focused and strong in the saffron night. No longer manipulated by misguided obligation to enter any darkness not meant for you. Your own candescence, a candle along a pomelo path to your inner child. Let the quicksand of depression dissolve on its own, stream through blood vessel rivulets along starlit stones in the forest soil to the absolute rest of dissolution. The return to nothing, reborn in light, scent of cedar through your arteries. Mama and child, universe creating, destination in sight. Carry nothing, just flow to the heart, the inner transcendence of trees. A wrapped mummy in womb time bliss to eternity. End poem.
Ah, beautiful. Beautifully done.
Thank you. And I wonder, you might have to see the painting for these, but they're going in a book with the paintings beside them.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
So that's okay. I really appreciate getting to read them here first because I'm struggling with wondering if I've taken out too many words. So I write my poem and then I think it's not good enough. So I try and tighten.
Oh, I know that feeling. Yes.
So I'm walking that fine line of have I tightened to the point of choppiness or, you know, do I put words back in or do I let them be?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, but it's nice to get to read it out loud.
Well, and I think reading it in front of people who are just 100% with your best interest in your work's best interest in mind and just are really open is a great place to bring things to. But you add a lot of that as well yourself. So I'm really happy that you're able to find some value in it.
Yeah, and thank you so much. And of course, if anyone has any suggestions for my new poems, I'm always open to tweaking them a little bit more.
Fantastic.
Or putting words back in that should be taken out.
Perfect. All right. Hey, Cynthia, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. That's right next to Vancouver. Or that's right next to the British Yukon, from what I've heard.
Hmm.
Or maybe, well, it's roughly the same country. All right, let's go now to Cleveland, Ohio, to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
Hello.
All right, let's go now to...
How are you?
I'm well.
Mama Oladeji.
Let me turn this... Hello, Mama. No.
All right.
Okay. I don't know if Cynthia might not know, but Barbara is an editor. Maybe she should send a couple of the poems to Barbara and let her look at it.
It's true, yeah.
To see, you know. Yeah. She edited a couple of pieces for me before. She's really good. Hmm. Okay. The name of this piece, I want to say one thing. The pieces that I put over in World Poetry Open Mike Friends,
yeah.
You're welcome to use it for the magazine. I put two over there that won two in Poetry Soup, which is one of the, you know, nicest paid poetry sites that I'm a lifetime member of. It's called Poetry Soup. And the two pieces that I put over on Friends were featured on their pages. So I said those are two good poems. One is called Truth Box, and the other one was the one I read earlier. So the one I'm reading now is called Truth Box. And like I said, you're welcome to use them for the magazine. Hello?
Sorry about that. We were letting you, we thought you were into the preamble, so we muted ourselves. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't know if it was okay for me to do it that way. That's what I was waiting for. I was putting them over. You're welcome.
What I appreciate that. I will say this. If you can send them, that way I can keep track and I have record that you said that and it's good. But if I'm just pulling things off online, it's easy to lose it or, you know, or forget about it. So if you get a chance, do that. I'll try to remember. But if you get a chance, emailing it is always the best way.
Okay, here we go. Truth box. Open up your truth box. Let me see inside. Open up your world and shine your star. Don't hide behind the fear. It's just a mirage. When you smile at me, what am I seeing? Are you being honest? Are you really caring? What are you preparing? Are you living out loud, bold, and daring? Open up and tell me what you feel inside. Who taught you to be so judgmental and stand on false pride? Do you punish yourself for loving someone who does not think like you? You dare not be true to your feelings, so you pretend that they are true? It's okay to role play if you know the way back in. When it all boils down, you're lost in your own skin. So open up your truth box and let me see the real mind. Dare to be yourself because you are one of a kind. I wonder who you really are. Are you really a superstar? Or is that role that you're playing the only script you know? Or are you just a quote that somebody else wrote? A script that's been rehearsed, not at all diverse? Can you find the person that you really were destined to be when your creator sent you to earth? Did you do what he sent you to do? Have you ever wondered who you truly are? Do you know what you are made of? Do you know why you are here? When last do you remember when you were truly you? This is your life, your time, so take the driver's seat. Or do you just tag along with people that you meet? Have you created anything that changes the course of fate? Have you seen your passion stage as the main event? Or are you more comfortable living other people's dreams, you know, daily doing nothing, just along for the ride with secondhand experiences? Do you seem to be content? Open up your truth box. Evaluate your worth. Start today to live your life. Sanctify the precious time spent here on this earth. Experience your tour. Let integrity unfold and open up your truth box and let all the world behold. In peace.
Very nicely done, Mama.
Yeah. Thank you. But you thought so?
No, I really did. Really did like that.
Yeah. That's a really good piece.
Thank you. Hope it motivates somebody. Everybody is turning into clones these days.
Yep.
Always trying to find somebody that they want to imitate that's not right and lose sight of who you are. It's so many individuals in the world. Be an individual. Do something that's truly you. Don't get lost.
It's true. I remember seeing years ago, and it's... there was this brand of jeans called Arizona Jeans. I don't know if they're still around, but I remember their whole advertising campaign was people who are themselves wear Arizona jeans. And I think at the age of like 11 years old, I still realize how just stupid that was. But I kind of feel like even, quote, originality is being marketed a certain way nowadays, and everybody who's being original actually all acts exactly the same way. So it kind of does feel like that commercial has turned into itself. It's turned into reality, I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is this. I was thinking about jeans. I'm glad that you brought that up. I was thinking about jeans the other day when I was thinking about people being innovative. And I was thinking about how somebody in the factory messed up the pair of jeans with the holes in them.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put them on the market. And it was like, wow, these are really cool. And now they cost more than the regular jeans.
Isn't that, it's just so, it's so funny to see how that really came from, you know? It's just, I don't know. Makes me laugh.
So because, you know, people wearing the holes. You try to buy a regular pair of dungarees or jeans now, and they don't have no holes in them. You're not going to pay as much as you're going to pay with the stylish ones.
I know.
The ones that was booped up. Yeah, so that's just amazing. You know, but you got to be innovative, you know? Like, sometimes you turn your mistakes into a profit, you know?
Or you'd be like me, just don't wear pants anywhere, you know? I mean, that's the whole thing.
Well, that's if you got bail money.
Well, hey, no, actually, one thing I am starting to do this year, and JT, it's going to have to start happening this next month, St. Patrick's Day, first day, I'm going to start wearing a kilt.
Okay.
And I'm wearing a kilt a lot in 2020.
All right.
Now, I'm not doing it the way that everybody thinks you're going to have to do it. I'm going to be a human being about it and actually wear underwear. But... I will be doing it. I think the time has come.
If that's what's in your truth box, just go ahead and do it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, you could even be an elf.
Yeah, I suppose I could be. That's true. I think a kilt. I can own a kilt a little bit more than the elf thing. But yes, you're right.
The tallest elf in the world. Okay. I enjoyed your music today. You going to do something else for us before we get out of here?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe so. Let me see. We've got one more caller after you, and I'll see if I can come up with something that fast.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. It's great stuff tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know, JT. Do you think I should be looking for another song? What do you think?
I don't know.
Let's see. All right, but before I get into that, let's head to this next caller. I'm really happy to see him. This is Don from California. Don, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you, and we need to have you call us back. And then as soon as you call back, we'll be able to take you live. I hope he can hear us.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
I know he said he was having some phone issues.
Well, this sounds like our phone issue, to be fair. But I hope he's able to hear us and call back.
Yeah. Yeah, let me go ahead and force it.
Yeah, let's just see what we can... Oh, boy. Well,
I want him to call back so bad.
Should we just sit here and talk about how much we want him to call back?
Yeah.
You know how much I want him to call back, JT?
It's
if I had three tacos,
yeah,
I'd be willing to give up one whole taco.
I think I could give up two.
See, don't be a hero, because you know you would give up two and then you just want one of mine. You just know that's what would happen.
Yeah, that's where it
so then you'd
from.
Be giving up two and then I'd have... See, then we'd both be...
But see what I got?
Then we both have...
Yeah.
Hey, Don, thank you so much for calling back, sir.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you just fine now.
Oh, that's so good.
Thank you for waiting.
I have a poem here, the title of which is The Dance Cafe. And it has to do with a little bit of Greek culture. And the Greek culture that I'm talking about, I mentioned two instruments, the bouzouki and the baglama. And they are stringed instruments, and usually they are associated with a form of singing called rebetiko, and it's really the Greek blues. And so those are the two references, And then, of course, it happens in a cafe, and where you have cafe in old culture, you have Greek men dancing by themselves to Greek music. The dance cafe. They dance in circles in front of the player's notes. Silent sheets rest on stands of steel branches. Sound slips into the air as if birds sung from twigs, invisible. Dancers' feet move like waves to ingrain on the beat. Ears surround the steps in a hush, then upfilling breaths of bazooki and baglama tilt the right, then the left. Dancers step into each other's past like leaves left by Adam and Eve. Green groves of shame prance towards the center of the song like the lyrics of a bank. Greece today, Europe tomorrow, then we swallow the USA. The prophecy of the poet sings truth in the words, only to be heard honestly by those who hear off key. Thank you.
Don, fantastic.
And thank you.
Wow.
I apologize for not being up with you, but as you get past 75, you like to sleep Friday nights instead of making company.
You know,
so you're sleeping with your dreams.
I can understand that. I can understand that actually, and I completely respect it. But I'm very, very happy when you can join us. It makes for a beautiful evening.
I want to also mention Laura Walker. She is my teacher now in the class that I take on poetry. And she has a book called Bird Book, among others. But she is so gifted that I get pressured internally that you have to mention this person because of their talent and your knowledge about how they teach. It is really wonderful. And also, you know, and this I whisper to you, I also tell people about World Poetry Open Mic.
We love that, and we love that you do. Yes, thank you, Don. We appreciate you as always. And this is a real treat. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Good night and sleep good.
We'll do our best. You as well. Good evening. And that was Don calling from California. Oh, happy to hear his voice, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So we've made it to the end of an evening. It's a short evening, but not actually that short. It's almost been a two-hour show.
Yeah.
And so I want to say thank you, everyone, for spending the time with us. We love it. Make sure you're communicating with other people, inviting them on as well. And we definitely will be here next week. We'll have new clues for a poet of the month, which follows, so we don't have to hear that. And we will have a new poetic form of the month and all kinds of new stuff happening this next time or this next Friday, so we're looking forward to it. But from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, from JT and myself, thank you for listening and being there with us. Are you okay if I play one more? Play us out? All right. And I'm going to play one more song, but we'll leave it at that. So before I start playing, I'll just say good night from all of us.
heart and hold my tongue. I feel my time has come. Let me in, unlock the door. I never felt this way before. The wheels just keep on turning. The drummer begins to drum. I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know which way I've come. Steal my heart and hold my tongue. I feel my time. Time has come. Let me in. Lock the door. I've never felt this way before. For you I'd wait till kingdom come. Until my day. My day is done. And see you come and set me free. Just say you'll wait. Wait for me. For you I'd wait. Your kingdom come. Till my days are done. And say you'll come and set me free. You say you'll wait for me. Just say you'll wait. You wait for me.